Good morning. It is the third Sunday of Easter, and this is Pastor Rod. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We read together the introit for today. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountain of Zion. For the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify Thee, we give thanks to Thee for Thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For Thou only art holy, Thou only art the Lord. Thou with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for this morning, the third Sunday of Easter, is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning with verse 14 and then verses 36 to 41. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle for this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 17. "If you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Alleluia. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Alleluia. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ." Let us join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a wonderful day that should have been. The reading for this morning's gospel lesson takes place on the first Sunday in which our Lord rose from the dead. Now, the reading of Thomas, that took place the following week. We heard that read last week. But now we're back to that first week, and we hear again the wonderful things that took place. In fact, the two disciples who are on that road headed to Emmaus are saddened. They're not joyful. They're not celebrating Easter. I mean, they've heard the good news, but they have failed to believe it. So they return perhaps home with saddened hearts, with spirits that have been crushed and are now in grief. But as they journey to Emmaus, Jesus comes alongside of them, and he plays the part of one who has no idea why they are sad. And so he asks them, And they're amazed. They're surprised that Jesus doesn't know about the things that have happened. Now, we might think, well, they didn't have TV. They didn't have 24-hour news 7 days a week. They didn't have all these things. So maybe it's possible he didn't hear anything. But that would be perhaps stretching it. Let us recount some of the things that took place on that day, or that week rather. Jesus enters into Jerusalem for Passover. Now, it was a requirement that Passover took place in Jerusalem. It had to be done at the temple because of the lambs that had to be sacrificed. So everyone came to Jerusalem. All good, God-fearing Jews came to Jerusalem, right? So Jesus comes in riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And lo and behold, the people are excited. And they're laying down their palm branches and they're singing praises to God. Hosanna in the highest. There was an expectation in the air for something great that was going to happen. But all these joyful shouts of praise would turn in a few days to crucify him. What a hard time for the disciples. And I'm not talking about the fear part. I'm talking about the hopes and expectations that were kind of dashed. The hopes of redemption. And that's what these two talk about. We had hoped he was the one. He was going to redeem us. He, however, died. And what's more, they go on to say, some women among us amazed us by reporting to us that they saw a heavenly vision of an angel who declared to them that he was alive. That is Jesus. He is alive. And I'm thinking, well, why are you on the road to Emmaus? Why are you saddened with such good news? But the truth is, they didn't believe it. And who can fault them, really? I mean, Jesus rising from the dead on the third day, just as he said. Well, to rise from the dead like that is an impossibility. But then you recall he raised Lazarus, who had been dead in the tomb for 4 days. And here Jesus was only in the tomb a mere 3 days. Yeah, it boggles the mind. It really does. I mean, who could believe that story? I mean, we hear of reports how a paramedic perhaps has revived someone who may have been dead for a few minutes. But 3 days? 4 days? Let's give these guys a break. Thomas wasn't the only one that doubted. This was fantastic news. This was amazing news, but it was news that wasn't received with faith. You see, that's what was missing, the faith that the Word of God creates in our hearts. And they had to have someone open their hearts so that faith could enter in. And Jesus does that. Jesus doesn't show him his hands as he did Thomas. He doesn't offer them to put their hands into his side. No, he goes the route that he has set up for faith to enter the hearts of every person. Remember last week he told Thomas, you believe because you have seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Well, how is it possible for those to believe who have not seen? Well, St. Paul tells us it comes from hearing the Word of God. So we need someone to speak that word to us. And so God has provided that means through his holy apostles. They lay down the foundation of the church. It is not their foundation. It is not their building material. But it is God's building material. It is God's Son who is the cornerstone of the church. He is that which holds the church together. He holds it together and makes it strong. But the teaching of the apostles is the foundation, not the apostles themselves, but the teaching of the apostles. Because it is in that teaching, which we are reminded by Peter, is the gospel, as the disciples on that road to Emmaus said. Were not our hearts burning when he was speaking to us on the road, when he was opening up scriptures to us? Beginning with the prophets and moving on down, Jesus opens their eyes. And they no longer are unbelieving. They stopped their disbelief, and now they are joyful and they believe. Jesus has spoken to them plainly and clearly about why they should be happy. And already it's burning in them. They still, though, are not seeing Jesus. But they're believing the words of this stranger. But he's no stranger at all, is he? So they sit down at the table to eat, and Jesus takes the bread. He blesses it, breaks it to give it to them, and we are told their eyes are opened. And guess what? Jesus is no longer with them. He is gone. At least visibly, in their sight, but Jesus fills all things because he is no longer in the state of humiliation, but the state of glory. And that is why suddenly he appears with them on the road to Emmaus. It is why he suddenly disappears from them at the breaking of this bread after they realize who it is that they have invited into their house. This is no stranger. This is their Lord and Master. This is their teacher. This is the one who has taught them again. And with that word, the gospel proclamation, that word, faith, is born in them. Now remember, it's near the end of the day, and they've asked Jesus to come and stay with them because it's late. But they are so excited now. They are filled with joy, for Christ is risen. They run back to Jerusalem. They run back with joy. That's what God's word does. You know, with this virus going around and people being shuttered in, and in some states, unfortunately, their guidelines for avoiding this virus are a lot tougher than ours in Texas. In some states, it's quite ridiculous. I mean, you've heard the stories. I've heard the stories. People are tired of it. But, you know, we're not in control of it. We'd like to be. We'd like to be able to just, you know, wake up in the morning and everything's back to the way it was. But right now, we know when we wake up in the morning, it's going to be like yesterday in some ways, but it'll be different. It'll be different in that there'll be some new things we learn and some good news on the horizon, good news coming to us in regards to how soon we can be together again, how soon it is we can gather at St. Paul and worship God there and receive from him his good gifts, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. I know you're hungry for that, and I know I'm hungry for that, and it'll come. But you know, there's some blessing in what we're going through in a way for this Easter. We're experiencing sadness. We're experiencing disappointment. We're experiencing longing for God. And in a lot of ways, that was going on for the disciples. But the good news is that Jesus is risen. And because he is risen, because he is alive, he gives us hope. Isn't that right? He gives us hope. Not dead hope, but a lively hope, a living hope. Because Christ is alive. Christ is God and man. Christ is the one who gives life. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our God. He is our brother. Heaven and earth can pass away. But what is good news to us is that God's word never changes. See, everything in this world changes. It's always shifting. The new morning is a new morning. We're not certain it's going to be raining or it's going to be sunny, though we have an idea. We can look at the sky sometimes and we can tell whether it's going to be a good morning or not in the evening of that previous day. But God's word remains the same and the promises in that word remain the same. And the promise to us is that because Christ lives, we too shall live. We have been baptized and brought into his family. We are a new people. We, like those 3,000 that were baptized, have received God's Spirit. We too were baptized with the same baptism they received. Isn't that wonderful? That's good news. That's great news. So on this third Sunday of Easter, we sing, our hearts sing, not because I'm telling you this, but because it has been brought to you by the Scriptures. I'm just a heralder of that word. He demonstrated it himself to these two disciples, how our hearts burned within us. And I think sometimes when I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling not as joyful as I'd like to be, or situations have happened that just grieve my soul, and I open the Word of God, and that Word speaks to my heart. And I too understand what they mean, weren't our hearts burning within us. It is a joy that is planted in our hearts. It is a fire, and it only comes from the Word of God. There's no other literature I have ever read that does that. Oh, I've read books that make me feel good and encourage me, inspire me even. But the Word of God speaks to my soul. The Word of God takes me to a different place, a different level, and I am thankful because it's at that moment I can look around me and I can see what we have left behind in our baptism. I can see the ugliness, I can see the evil, and I can say, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into this world and dying for us. And I can see that, and I am thankful, and the Word of God gives me joy because I didn't do this. God did it. I didn't rescue myself. No, God did it. It is because of Christ that I can proclaim this with confidence. I, too, believe with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, with the disciples in Jerusalem, with the disciples at Pentecost, with the disciples in the first generation through the 21st generation. I confess this with my heart, and I believe. I didn't create that faith. I didn't come by that faith on my own. It is through Scripture. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. You have heard our pleas for mercy, O Lord, and given up your Son to be our Savior. Hear us now as we come to you on behalf of ourselves and all people according to their needs. Our hearts have burned in us, O Lord, as your word has been read and preached. Keep our faith from growing cold and grant us grace that we may not waver in faith or succumb to temptation. Give to us and to our children receptive hearts that we may hear and hearing believe and believing be steadfast in this faith and hope all our days. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You have cleansed us, O Lord, with water and the word in baptism, and you have marked us as your own people. Give to us grace that we may live out this faith and holy lives, lifting up your name and word and works for us as long as we live. Guide us that with souls purified by obedience to the truth, we may love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless your church, O Lord, that she may welcome the stranger in Christ's name and manifest the unity of the faith in the bonds of love. Gather together those who are separated and preserve their faith by your word until all precautions and shelter measures have passed. Bless Matthew, presiding in our synod, Michael, our district president, Wayne, our circuit visitor, and Rod, our pastor. Bless those training for church work vocations. Bless each of us as we live out our baptismal vocation of worship, witness, prayer, and service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guard our nation, O Lord, that we may enjoy peace and security in the face of threat and danger. Bless Donald, our president, the Congress of the United States, Greg, our governor, and all state and local officials, that they may fulfill their offices faithfully. Bless all emergency and medical workers and the members of the armed forces who protect us, and teach the nations the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Deliver us from all our afflictions and grant us strength to bear all our burdens. O Lord, hear us in particular for Scott Stallings, Robert Galabias, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, Weston Swoboda, and those whom we name in our hearts. According to your gracious will, heal the sick, relieve those who suffer, comfort the grieving, and give peace to the dying. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Stay with us, O Lord, and be our strength and weakness and our hope in time of despair. Your gracious will once kept the saints in faith, even unto death. Keep us, we pray, with them in your faith and fear, that we may be found faithful when Christ comes again in his glory to bring to fulfillment all things once and forevermore. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Through the breaking of the bread, O Lord, feed us upon the flesh of Christ and grant us to drink his blood in faith. Forgive our sins, strengthen our faith, build up our unity as a congregation and synod, and equip us through this communion to love you and love one another as you have loved us. Preserve the faith of those who wish to receive this sacrament in the presence of the congregation but cannot, and grant them their desire soon. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Accept, O Lord, the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving we bring for all your goodness and generosity. And with our song of praise, accept our offerings, that your church may have the resources to proclaim your gospel and care for the poor and those in need, Lord. In your mercy, hear our prayer. These and whatever other things we need, O Lord, we pray. We pray that you would grant us in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose death has made full atonement for our sin and whose resurrection has granted to us the promise of our own joyful resurrection to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen, amen, amen.